All right. Welcome to Wednesday. Happy hump day and all that. This is your Newsmax Daily for April 10th, 2024. Already into double digits of the fourth month of what still feels like a new year, right? And there are 5 days until the IRS tax deadline if you owe money. Today is National Siblings Day, so be sure to call yours. If you have siblings, let them know how much they mean to you. Do not take that for granted. If you live close by, go see them. Do not send an email. Call or stop by. And if you have siblings or a sibling that has passed on, be sure to honor them in some way today. We do have some big news right out of the gate here. Not necessarily the way I was anticipating starting out, but at the time of this recording, the CPI report has just come out. Consumer price index worse than expected, showing inflation rose 3.5% from last March to this March, more than was expected. And the stock markets are in the tanker. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. It's a big Wednesday at the White House with all the pomp and circumstance of a world leader's arrival ceremony. This is for Prime Minister Kishida of Japan and Mrs. Kishida, who actually arrived last night. After a meeting, they will hold a joint press conference, President Biden and the Prime Minister, as I mentioned yesterday. Then there'll be a state dinner, and at 9:30 tonight, an entertainment reception. What kind of entertainment is Mr. Biden going to provide at 9:30 at night? Today was scheduled to be an eventful day on Capitol Hill as well, but House Republicans have convinced Speaker Johnson to wait until Monday to deliver those articles of impeachment against Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate instead of doing it today. They talked a lot about this yesterday on Newsmax in an effort to put more pressure on Democrats in the Senate who are trying to dismiss the charges. They're going to wait until Monday. Republican Senator John Thune of South Dakota spoke about it with Greta Van Susteren.
Senator, I understand that the Senate Republicans have asked Speaker Johnson to hold off sending the articles of impeachment from the House over to the Senate. Am I right, and why?
Well, we think that the Senate needs to have time to process and debate the articles of impeachment coming over from the House. And it's pretty clear that Chuck Schumer wants to just shut it down immediately. We believe that this issue, the southern border, which is the basically the subject of the impeachment, articles of impeachment, is a national security crisis. It is a debacle, and a debacle created by President Joe Biden and Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Those are the two people that have been instrumental in what has been this massive run-up in the number of people coming across the border illegally. 7.4 million people apprehended, another 1.8 million gotaways. Last year, 22,000 Chinese nationalists, 351 people on the terrorist watch list. Those are the people that have been caught. That doesn't count the gotaways, and that doesn't count the unknowns. I mean, this is a complete and utter failure and disaster. Somebody needs to be held accountable. The House of Representatives has passed articles of impeachment. We think the Senate needs to conduct a trial, and Schumer is trying to circumvent that, which would be unprecedented.
So those are the circumstances around the actual impeachment, right? And then Greta asks about the president.
In your opinion, is it high crimes and misdemeanors of the Secretary of Homeland Security, or if he is executing what the president wants him, would the high crimes and misdemeanors more aptly be put on the president's lap?
I think you could make that argument, clearly, that he works for the President of the United States, but there has been, you know, there is precedent throughout history of cabinet secretaries who have violated their oath, so to speak, and in this case, again, we think that the handling of the southern border is certainly exhibit number one in just complete failure, and failure which, frankly, in my view, is intentional. They went through in terms of the policies that have been effective and working, reversed all those to reverse course and abandoned what had been working in exchange for policies literally that are waving people across the border on a daily basis. The way they've changed the parole policies, the way they've changed the asylum policies, you can go right down that list, Greta. It's intentional, it's wrong, and you know, it's a violation of our laws of our country, which, you know, need to be adhered to and followed. And I think that's ultimately falls on Mayorkas.
And what about the border czar, as I've been asking for more than a year now. Biden, Mayorkas, and Harris, you know, the vice president, the border czar. For more on the border, this is Texas Congressman Pat Fallon on Newsmax with host Bianca De La Garza.
Well, there's so much more talk about allowing non-citizens to vote, Congressman Fallon. That's another concern that a lot of Americans maybe aren't realizing the gravity of that as well, as we are in an election year.
Oh, it undermines our republic completely, Bianca. I mean, it's a very good point. And what a lot of Americans don't realize is registering to vote in most states is the honor system. You're just checking a box where you promise that you're an American citizen, and there's no proof necessary. I think that's absolutely abhorrent, and we should have laws on the books where you have to prove that you're a citizen before you can even register to vote. And that's why I think that's why a lot of the hard left is really for getting as many bodies across that border as they can, quite frankly.
You know, they continue to gaslight the Americans. I want to play a little bit of Karine Jean-Pierre still applauding what she says are President Biden's efforts to take actions on the border.
The president has taken so many actions over the last 3 years, and he started off putting forth his own proposal, comprehensive immigration proposal, first day that he walked in, the first piece of legislation that he wanted to move. And more than three years, Republicans got in the way at every turn. Every turn they got in the way of getting things done.
I mean, we know it's simply not true.
Wow.
Your reaction?
Well, Bianca, I can prove that's not true. She said Republicans got in the way at every turn. Who was in charge of the House and the Senate for the first 2 years of Joe Biden's presidency? The Republicans? No, it was the Democrats, and they didn't get anything done. Furthermore, he has taken a lot of action, and they've all been wrong. We had a trickle, and he turned it into a flood. We had never seen in our history, in the last 20 years, we had never seen a month where we had 200,000 illegal border encounters. We've had 28 of them under Joe Biden, Bianca. And at this point of the Obama and the Trump presidencies, they had about 1.7 million illegal encounters. They've had 8.5 million under Joe Biden. He doesn't even need congressional action at all or approval to simply reinstate the wait in Mexico policy, which President Trump did, which said, oh, you're going to claim asylum? You will wait in Mexico while you do that. Joe Biden can do that today, but he refuses to do it.
Well, and we'll see if Chuck Schumer refuses to move forward on the impeachment articles that you guys have passed. Again, flying in the face of the work to protect Americans.
Bianca De La Garza is the host of Newsline at noon Eastern with Texas Representative Pat Fallon there. If you're listening in Texas, by the way, there is a story out of Houston making headlines today. Harris County wants to give families of four earning less than $63,000 a year a $500 a month check. But not a one-time stimulus, $500 a month for up to 18 months. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has filed suit against the county for what he calls a socialist experiment. Harris County also recently announced that it is in financial distress and has a big deficit, but says that the money for the program is from leftover COVID relief funds. Could they still have leftover COVID relief funds? I detoured there for a moment, but let's get back to the border, which I have been saying all along should be the Republicans' biggest campaign tool, right? And as we have discussed before, abortion, sadly, or what the Democrats call women's health care, is now their number one issue for the presidential election, especially over the past 36 hours or so since Donald Trump spoke about abortion and letting states make their own decisions. The focus of Rob Schmidt's show last night.
They feed off of this. This is the only chance they have in November. And again, they've had 50 years to make a radical Supreme Court decision from 1973 appear to be somehow moderate and normal. They've had a long time to indoctrinate people so that this is a winning issue for them, and trust that it is. Today's Democrat Party is posing as the sensible ones on this issue with their barbarism, when in truth they have moved very, very hard to the left, even in recent years. In fact, let's take a look at Joe Biden 18 years ago.
I do not view abortion as a choice and a right. I think it's always a tragedy. And I think that it should be rare and safe. And I think we should be focusing on how to limit the number of abortions. And there ought to be able to have a common ground and consensus as to do that. I think the vast majority of the American people think that can be done. But unfortunately, we're put in a position you either eliminate abortions under all circumstances or it's, quote, abortion on demand.
Whoa, wait a minute. Did he say that was Joe Biden? You don't have to try and go back and listen to it again. I'm going to play it for you again. Joe Biden, 18 years ago.
I do not view abortion as a choice and a right. I think it's always a tragedy. And I think that it should be rare and safe. And I think we should be focusing on how to limit the number of abortions. And there ought to be able to have a common ground and consensus as to do that. I think the vast majority of the American people think that can be done. But unfortunately, we're put in a position you either eliminate abortions under all circumstances or it's, quote, abortion on demand.
Back when Joe Biden was still a Catholic and back when he was also pragmatic about this issue. And you know why he's pragmatic about the issue? Because he sounds a lot like Trump does on the issue. In fact, he sounds almost exactly like Trump does today. And as Joe Biden has devolved on this issue, Trump has evolved. Trump was once pro-choice. He was. Today, he's still moderate on it. He's made it clear he prefers a ban around 12 to 15 weeks, right where most Americans are, regardless of political party. That's about where they are. But he says it's not up to him. He says it's up to the states. That's his position. Trump voters should know by now he is not the North Star of conservatism and moral clarity. That was Mike Pence, and Mike Pence got smoked in the primaries. Trump represents common sense on most issues. He also represents a viable path to victory and a way out of our current American nightmare where abortion policy is far from the scariest monster.
Rob Schmidt, host of Rob Schmidt Tonight, weeknights at 7 Eastern on Newsmax. When the presidential primaries first started out last year, you heard a lot of pundits saying this isn't about Donald Trump becoming the nominee, but it's about Republicans winning the White House, right? Especially Nikki Haley was saying that, but a lot of other people and pundits were saying that. Well, Donald Trump is the nominee, and now Republicans need to get it together if they're going to win the White House. That Joe Biden abortion cut was also a part of the discussion on this morning's Wake Up America. Host Rob Finity with Governor Mike Huckabee.
You know Joe Biden, Governor, and I'm just wondering, that soundbite's from 2006, not from 40 years ago. When did the Democratic Party go from pro-choice to pro-abortion? What happened to Joe Biden?
Well, once they decided that they were going to completely sell out to the most radical extreme left, they just gravitated that way. There was a time when there were a lot of pro-life Democrats. It was common in their party, some for religious reasons, others just for common sense and maybe for electoral purposes. But the point is, it used to be an issue upon which there was not that wide of a divide. I can remember Bill Clinton talking about abortion should be, he would use the term safe, legal, and rare. Well, Democrats don't want rarity. They want it to happen all the time. They call it health care. There's nothing healthy about an abortion. It's not healthy for the mother, puts her at great risk, but it's certainly not healthy for the baby. It kills the baby. Nothing healthy there. So what we have to do as Republicans, and I think as common sense Americans, is help say, look, we recognize some people won't agree with those of us who are pro-life, who believe life begins at conception, and we ought to protect it. But for gosh sake, do you really want to side with Joe Biden, where he is now, that an abortion can happen up until the moment of birth? Is that really a humane and an act of a civilized society? For heaven's sakes, it is not. Yeah.
And on that note, let me go back to Rob Schmidt Tonight here. And if you're listening in your car, maybe with children, your kids, or you're eating, this is going to get graphic.
Roe versus Wade was barbaric, extreme, and absolutely outrageous. But it was able to fester as the law of the land for 50 years. Roe became normalized. Americans largely desensitized to what we legally allowed in this country for five decades. And the left had 50 years to indoctrinate us with their abortion PR. We had the most extreme abortion laws in the world, with the exception of very terrible places. The wool was pulled over our eyes. Most would be shocked to hear just how horrific a mid to late term abortion truly is, as described here on Capitol Hill by a reformed former abortion provider.
If she were 12 weeks pregnant or less, basically the width of your hand or smaller, you could basically do the entire procedure with this. But babies this big don't fit through catheters this size. The business end of this clamp is about 2.5 inches long and 1/2 inch wide. There are rows of sharp teeth. This is a grasping instrument. When it gets a hold of something, it does not let go. A D&E procedure is a blind abortion, so picture yourself introducing this and grabbing anything you can blindly and pull, and I do mean hard, and out pops a leg about that big, which you put down on the table next to you. Reach in again, pull out an arm about the same length, which you put down on the table next to you, and use this instrument again and again to tear out the spine, the intestines, the heart and lungs.
Now, if you watch the show with any regularity, you notice that we play that soundbite. We've played it a few times because it's important. This is what they're calling women's health care. It's important to see that. Sadly, most Americans don't watch C-SPAN. The reality of abortion is largely concealed in this country. We have been propagandized over time. Abortion, even elective late-term abortion, has become women's health care.
That is the harsh reality of late-term abortion that people kind of stick their head in the sand about, right? Rob is right. It is important that people hear that. In fact, they should play it in schools. After that, I'm going to shift gears a bit to Senator Rand Paul. Anytime Rand Paul is on Newsmax, I have to include his commentary in the Newsmax Daily because he is one of the few, very few, straight shooters in D.C. Like it or not, he's going to say it. And he's responding here to comments from Chuckie Schumer about Ukraine losing the war with Russia because MAGA Republicans have held up money for Ukraine.
So somehow, Senator, the Ukraine-Russia war is somehow it's on us now? This is a proxy war for us?
Well, I would hardly describe giving $113 billion worth of weapons and money and paying for their salaries and their pensions and their small business loans. I would hardly call that nothing. Schumer said that basically the U.S. has done nothing. So he's saying the $113 billion that's already been spent over there is nothing? No, I think we've done the lion's share of the work over there, and we had to borrow the money we sent them. But the bottom line is Russia's a bigger country with a bigger army, and they can probably afford to lose 5 soldiers for every 1 soldier on the Ukraine side and still last, maybe outlast them. I'm not for Russia winning. I mean, Russia's the aggressor here. I hope Ukraine can maintain their independence. But for Schumer to say that it's our, you know, preeminent responsibility, well, our responsibility is first to America and first to our Constitution. Right. And really, that has to be having a fiscally upright ship. We've got to have a ship that's not borrowing. We borrowed $1 trillion in the first 6 months this year. We're going to borrow $2 trillion this year, and that's not the kind of fiscal arrangement you need to have when you're asked to send another $100 billion.
That is fiscally conservative Senator Rand Paul on The Balance with Eric Bolling. And as I mentioned, stocks are deep in the red. After a report on consumer prices, the CPI showing prices in the month of March rose 3.5% from last year, more than what they were expecting, meaning inflation is still hot. So what is the Fed going to say about this? Keep up with all of the news all day long and night on Newsmax. It is available on most major cable systems. Also, make sure you're streaming Newsmax Plus. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com, get signed up if you haven't already. You can also sign up for a free trial there. It includes all of your favorite shows and hosts like Rob Schmidt tonight, The Balance with Eric Bolling, Greg Kelly Reports, Greta Van Susteren, Carl Higbee, Wake Up America, and more, with analysis from people like Governor Mike Huckabee, Hogan Gidley, Carrie Lake, law expert Alan Dershowitz, and a lot more. NewsmaxPlus.com. I'm Tony Marino. This is the Newsmax Daily. Thank you for listening. Today, by the way, is also National Hug Your Dog Day. And you may actually like your dog more than your sibling, but don't forget to give them a hug or a call today as well. And keep on fighting the good fight.
News breaks every minute, every day. You need the app, the Newsmax app. Find it free on your smartphone store. Then watch us anytime, anywhere.